Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast number 67, a very special Face Rocker Podcast because it's just me and Dez.
Hey.
That's just us.
It's just you and me, and it's just us.
We have much to discuss. Sundance happened, Snapchat, all kinds of stuff. We regale us with stories.
Kind of a rundown of everything that's happening right now.
Hey, listen, Dez, don't sell it so hard. Let the people get excited for it, all right? Stay tuned. Here it comes, Face Rocker Podcast, coming at you. Welcome, everybody, to yet another Face Rocker Podcast, a very special one.
What's
because
that?
Dez and I are the only two people here. We're going to be dueling, going mano a mano, face to face, and hopefully, we're going to actually do a little experiment. We're going to see if Desmond Dolly and Freddie Wong are entertaining enough on their own to carry this podcast, because if we happen to be, well, I think there's going to be some changes in terms of the podcast staff. We can get rid of half of the people on here. Just
hey,
cut
man.
The dead weight, you know what I mean?
That's what I've been saying for the last 2 years.
That's a good call, Dez. So we need to start this week's podcast very quick with a little apology.
Wait, what? What are we apologizing for?
We have to apologize to the good people of Provo, Utah. Have you heard what happened?
Yes, I did. But let's fill everyone in. It was
okay, so last week we started the good first half hour of the podcast was just Matt going off on the Provo flag, which if you don't remember was this. We'll show the image here. The Provo flag, oh boy.
I think it started with us critiquing
flags.
We learned that
every city has a flag. Chicago has a baller flag, and Provo, Utah has arguably the worst flag we've ever seen.
Right.
Unbelievably, the day after we post that podcast, two things happened. Number one, people were kind enough to point out that Provo had, in fact, changed their flag for many of the reasons that we had outlined on that podcast. They're like, okay, you guys are
right. You guys nailed it.
And we changed our flag. So they changed their flag to what it is now, and we'll show an image of that, which is, you know, again, falls right in line on par with, well, every other state flag. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, any other flag there. But two, we found out that the guy who made the flag died.
That day. The day the podcast was posted.
And we were just ripping on this thing, and they're like, hey, you know the guy who designed that flag originally just died.
You mean the guy that
of, like, complications of, you know, a cancer, I think, or so.
And we're on the podcast saying, what is it?
Who's the guy who designed this thing?
They changed the flag,
and that guy
died.
We're
attacking the flag creator on the day of his death, unbeknownst to us.
We didn't know this. We didn't.
Terrible.
Because it came out, because again, these podcasts come out a little bit later after we record them.
Right.
Anyway, so the funny thing about that is in that article about his death, it actually explained why the flag is the way it is, which is the flag is the way it is, believe it or not, because, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
He made it as part of a marketing presentation in the 80s. And it just stuck. So it was originally a PowerPoint graphic that he used, and everyone just mistook it. They're like, okay, we're just going to use this for the flag. It was not his decision. He was not a graphic designer. He was a council member.
Somebody just grabbed the... He put this together as part of a PowerPoint presentation in the 80s, and then someone just grabbed the TIFF file and printed out flag.
TIFF is I wouldn't go TIFF. I would assume it's a progressive JPEG.
You think so?
Yeah. Did you know that you can encode? This is gonna get nerdy. Yeah. This is what's gonna happen. It's just me and Dez. Freddie's just gonna go down.
No, let me talk about compression. Image compression.
Anyway. Matt felt super super bad.
Well, I mean.
And really quick, just to
that's
just,
why Matt's not here today. He didn't want to come on and
hang
apologize.
Out with his lady. No, well, okay, so let me said, Stephen Hales, former council member of Provo, designer of the original flag. I'm sure a fantastic gentleman. We're sorry that we made fun of the work that was accidentally attributed to you, and we're sorry that you're dead. There, how's that?
That was a bit insincere.
What? No, it's true. It's true. We were anyway. So that's what happened with the Provo flag. Sorry about that. People did send in some very amazing bad state flags, of which, you know, again, it's what they got the college grad students doing.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why no one else is here, by the way, is we walked in. I was like, all right, guys, time to do the podcast. Let's do this. And John Carman is shooting a This Week at Rocket Jump, which, again, if you haven't been checking out, and there's no reason why you shouldn't. They're on the second channel here, youtube.com/rocketjump2. And it's a fantastic sort of fake behind-the-scenes sort of series about what goes on in the office. He needed everybody for what he's shooting.
Mm-hmm. So we lost
our guest
today.
By the way, who's on the logo of the company here, Dez? Who is that? Whose outline is that on the logo? Is that me?
That is me, isn't it? It's very similar.
That's me.
To
well, guess
your
what?
Silhouette.
Oh, guess yes. what? Guess what? No, sorry, can't have anybody for the podcast.
No.
Anyway, mm-hmm. John outranks me here now. Slow.
He does. That, it's a good show though. It's on Rocket Jump too. People should go watch it.
This show's coming out. It's fantastic.
This
show's coming out. This podcast coming out the week right before the Super Bowl. Am I correct, Benji? Yep.
That is correct.
Coming in right before the Super Bowl.
Who's even in the Super Bowl this year?
Come on now. Come on,
man.
Now.
I'm telling you, once the Bears crapped their pants on the season, I stopped watching. I don't know. It's Seahawks and Patriots, right?
Seahawks and Patriots. That's
Patriots,
right.
The cheaters. I love it. That'll be good.
So and yeah, obviously and so okay, so here's the thing about the Super Bowl. Because everyone's like, Freddie, you're such a you're from Seattle, you're jazzed about this, right? I'm like, no. You wanna know why? Because when I was a kid, we had sports teams in Seattle. And
the guy who was just talking about PDF compression is not jazzed by sports?
Shocking, I know, right? Well, but here's the thing. Seattle sports for a while sucked. Now, granted, not as bad as I think a lot of other teams in a lot of other places, but it sucked. Sonics were bad. But you had Sean Kemp and like Detlef Schrempf.
Detlef, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, never have gotten a name like that
what
ever
is that,
again.
By the way?
I think it's Eastern European. Croatian, maybe. And they sucked. And I remember one time there was a poll, the Seattle PI, which is one of the newspapers in Seattle, did a poll about how many people want the Seattle Sonics to stay in Seattle.
Yeah.
It was right when they were talking about moving. 56% of Seattle, something like that. Over half didn't want them to stay. They're just like, get rid of them. We don't care.
You know, there's a lot of kids, though, that I'm sure that all across America grow up in a town that either doesn't have a team or doesn't have a very good team. That doesn't mean they're not sports fans, so...
What was it really? Well, no,
Freddie.
Here's what it was, because we had good teams. We had like the Huskies, the UW team was good, and the Seahawks sucked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so anyway, I don't care about the Super Bowl, and everyone's getting on my butt for it.
Well, it's because you're just not a football fan. It doesn't have anything to do with you were never a Seattle fan, right?
It makes me feel bad. Jimmy's
a big deal for your brother Jimmy.
Jimmy explains the rules of the game to me like I'm his 12-year-old son, and he's my dad. I'm like, Dad, what happened? I don't understand. What's a touchback? 2-point conversion. Why don't they just do that every time?
You know, I don't know. Super
Why
Bowl
are they kicking
it? It's a thing everyone watches. I would get excited.
Fourth and two, I'd go for that. That's why I'm not a football coach.
Yeah, I don't know.
Every time, go for it.
We'll see. I'm not excited about this game. I don't have a horse in this race. What am I going to say?
So here's the horse that I have in this race. Okay, so YouTube's doing a live show. We're going to get real personal here. We're going to get real detailed. YouTube's doing a live show this weekend.
You may have seen this in the trades.
So they're doing a live show this weekend, and you know we as part of this, we did a video that you directed, Dez.
That's
correct. That's coming out the next Monday or in a few days here.
Mm-hmm.
And another part of this is where I'm a co-host on this live show. Now,
Who are your fellow co-hosts?
Harley's on there. Toby Turner's going to be there. Rhett and Link are going to be there. It's a real murderer's row of people who look handsome on camera, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Not counting myself in that at all. But
you guys going to talk about modes of PDF compression?
Well,
dude,
it'd be gripping. Okay, so here's the thing. Right? I'm gonna go on a rant here for a little
all
bit.
Right.
Okay, PR is something. It's a necessary evil here in Hollywood, and there's
self-promotion.
Well, especially, and you need that. You need it definitely, and we're really bad at it. We're awful.
Oh, we're terrible
at being hype men for ourselves. You know, it's why it's why nobody. Well, a lot of stuff we're like, hey, this is pretty cool. Nobody cares about it. Because you have to at some point. You know, you have to understand this is a very important skill to learn. Kids listening and people out there, it's a very important skill to learn. Learn at least a little bit how to promote yourself without being, you know, overly in, you know, without seeming too sincere about it, without being too like hardcore into like loving yourself.
You don't want to be a braggart.
But you need to at least be able to, because no one else is rooting for you. You need to be able to put yourself out there a little bit.
Exactly.
And we don't do that.
Champion yourself.
We're horrible at that, you know. So, and I can't, you know, obviously big organization PR is one thing, smaller company PR is another thing. But so big organization PR. So YouTube decided to take this tact in terms of advertising this show on Sunday. They're like, they're going to go head to head with the Super Bowl halftime show.
How many people watch the Super Bowl halftime show?
Everybody watches the Super Bowl, more or less.
So how many millions? That's tens of millions or hundreds of millions?
Tens of millions of people are watching that. and going
lots
to the
of tens, but I believe, in the high tens.
But like, what? Like, and they're like, and so then that week, as a result, we got so many press inquiries from people who read that, and they're like, "Oh, YouTube's going head to head with the halftime show for the Super Bowl." Like, and then they had a quote from a YouTube person being like, "We'll see how Freddie Wong's draw compares to Katy Perry." You don't have to fucking do shit. You want me right? Guess what? You want my draws compared to Katy Perry? Dick shit.
Dick.
It's fucking
it's
nothing.
Dick and shit.
It's nothing.
We
it's
already
zero.
Know this. Why
it's
do we have to run
nothing.
This
it's comparing
test.
A planet to a fucking ant. Like how? And then. So here's the thing. Then, as a result of that, we're getting calls left and right from NBC, KTLA, all these news outlets wanting to be like, can we talk to Freddie about
what Freddie, how do you think you'll fare against Katy Perry in the Super Bowl?
I talked to NPR, and I was like, okay, so here's the thing. Like,
who did you talk to at NPR?
Some dude at Marketplace. And okay. I love NPR. Like, it's one of those things where, and the reason why I love NPR, I'll tell you why. Because anything that we do, nobody reads about. Nobody back home reads Variety. Nobody back home
no,
reads
no,
Hollywood
absolutely,
Reporter.
Right.
Nobody cares. Mm-hmm. But I come from super hippie commie liberal Seattle,
right,
where every Volvo station wagon is tuned at 94.9, the NPR station, nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
And as a result,
all the shortcuts on FM1 and FM2 are tuned into NPR.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. And so as a result, the only time that anybody ever will hear about kind of what know about what's going on in my life back home, like my parents or like my parents' friends, so that, you know, my parents can kind of like brag to their friends a little bit, is when anything happens on NPR. So when Jimmy, for example, did the Ching Chong like response song,
right,
a few years ago, he got interviewed on NPR. That's what everyone was calling him about, was for that NPR bit that he did. So I was like, okay, NPR, I'll talk to NPR. And I got on this phone as a reporter, and this guy is like, he was pushing so hard to try and be like, so this rivalry thing, right? So what do you think? You think you guys stand a chance? And the whole
since
time,
when has it? What? What rivalry?
Well, that's the thing. That's what YouTube came out with. YouTube came out with, hey, we're gonna go head to head against the Super Bowl halftime show. It's like, good luck.
But a rival, I guess. Does rivalry not imply some sort of prior history?
Well, it's a showdown of sorts, right? Because they're like, well, kids are gonna watch stuff online. And it's like, this is so dumb. What? And so the whole time this interview, I was just like being realistic. I was like, well, I mean, look, people can watch both. It's not on competing channels. And I was like, oh, I even threw like what I considered a good joke, which I was like, oh, you know, we may be going up against the Super Bowl halftime show, but we're also going up against the Puppy Bowl halftime show and the Fish Bowl halftime show. And it was dead silent the other end. And the guy's like, sorry, what's that?
What'd you say?
Yeah, you know what the Puppy Bowl is, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I was just like, what? It's competing Super Bowl programming. Come on, I'm making it relevant. No, good. Anyway, so there's this whole thing, and then people still.
So are these the kinds of jokes that we can expect to see this Sunday on your live halftime show
you
competition?
Like, you like canned? You like some canned wordplay? Then you're
dry NPR like humor on the. Alt programming to Katy Perry.
Really,
if you guys can't stand Katy Perry or any of her rad songs,
it's like, why would you? It's like, I would watch that. It's like, if you went to me, like, would you watch Freddie talk about ads, or you want to watch Katy Perry sing? I'll take Katy Perry.
You know
week.
What? I feel like maybe YouTube decided to do this.
My point is, whoever came up with that stupid PR move,
you know,
fuck you, man. Like,
that's just
actively making my life worse.
Serious foot and mouth situation there.
I hate that, because here's what's going to happen. It's just everyone's going to be like, well, how did they do? YouTube's not going to say anything because they probably didn't do that. They're not going to do that good, frankly, because everyone's watching the damn Super Bowl, and that's that.
You know, I don't think counter-programming to Super Bowl is a bad idea necessarily. Some people.
No, I agree.
You know,
that's why the Puppy Bowl works. The Puppy
absolutely.
Bowl is incredibly
counter-programming
popular.
Is a good idea, but to say that it will stomp Katy Perry.
Well,
global
no, but
superstar.
Even them being like, let's see how the draw compares. Like, you don't need to see it, guys. You don't need to wait until Sunday. Don't need to hold your breath. I'll tell you it right now. It's not going to compare. Period. Done.
It's not the same thing. We're not even playing. Exactly. We're not even talking the same sport here.
Anyway, and I don't know why. And it's like, I keep getting, I don't know. This is, and Dez, I think this is a personal, this really is, I think,
you,
a
this
personal,
has been happening to you a lot.
This is my fault. This really is my fault. I'm an idiot.
Getting involved in these hosting events. Freddie, when did you become host extraordinaire? How did this happen?
This is not what I dreamed of. I wanted to just make movies.
The movie guy. Now you're host guy.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Anyway, so that's what's going. Anyway, if you guys want to tune in on Sunday for this.
I know, right? I mean, now everyone's like,
I don't know if I want to see this.
Or maybe everyone's
not that,
thinking,
it's not that.
Freddie.
Hold on.
Yeah.
It's not that, like, don't tune in. It's going to be bad. It's not going to be the same thing. And plus, it's online, guys. You don't have to. Like, you can watch both. You have a laptop. You have a tablet. You have a phone. You can watch Katy Perry do her thing. You can watch us do our thing at the same time. It's like, it's not competition.
Right.
But YouTube trying to make it into a competition. And I don't understand that. I just don't understand what the point of that was.
It's a strange thing.
So, well, I just came downstairs from the writer's room for the Hulu show that we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mike related to us a game that he played. Well, it's not really much of a game, but it was an exercise as English teacher forced everyone in the class to do that I want to try with you, Des.
Okay.
And it's an incredibly difficult exercise.
Oh, great. Okay. Fantastic.
Here's the exercise.
Let's do it.
We have in our speech commonly, we will resort to words like,
yes.
You know, sort of mm-hmm. holding words, right? And they're not good. They make you sound dumb.
Correct.
And most people in their speech, especially if you're trying to improve your speech, will seek to eliminate those words. So the game is as follows. I'm going to start a timer. And for 1 minute, and I'm going to give you a topic. And I'm going to start a timer. And for 1 minute straight, you have to talk about that topic without talking slowly. You have to talk at a normal pace
mm-hmm.
and try not to say at any point, like.
I've played a version of this game.
Yeah.
Every time you go to Subway.
Yeah, the Subway game.
The Subway game. You go to Subway, and the trick is to order a sub, get through the entire process without saying like and or ah.
So Ben Waller, actually, did I tell you this? Ben Waller, like the first time we told him about the Subway game, he was like, psh, I know this. This is easy. I got this on lock.
You would think it is. It's
and
very difficult.
So he walked up. He was like, this is easy. You guys are insane. This is not hard at all. He walks up to it. And then the person was like,
what can I make for you?
Well, no, 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 no. That's not the first question I asked. The first question she asked was, what kind of bread do you want? And he goes, and I was like, you didn't even say a word.
You didn't get word one, fail.
He lost immediately. It's really difficult because what happens then is you start being like really intense about your sandwich.
Yes.
You just become,
every word is deliberate.
You go really slow and you're like, I want.
See, those don't
tomatoes
count.
And.
But herbs are not good either.
But you become that, and then what's funny is by the time you finish, you're just like, I didn't want this sandwich. I didn't order half the things I didn't even want on this.
There was a girl that I went to school with, and it was in sixth grade in particular, where our teacher basically had to beat the likes out of her vocabulary.
Wait, your teacher physically assaulted a student?
Physically
assaulted.
No, verbally assaulted her basically until she just would not say like anymore. It was bad, though. You could not understand.
Was she hitting
anything?
Like, you know, like everything before
like,
every like word?
Just
nonstop?
Nothing. Nonstop. Couldn't understand what she was talking about.
So what I found is I've tried to do this, and I'm not really doing it here because I'm being a little more conversational, but especially in sort of public speaking and that sort of thing, I try and if I'm not using like or what I do instead, I found is I have like holding pattern phrases.
Sure.
Phrases that.
Such as.
I'll resort. Such as, for instance, you know is actually a bad one too. But I have holding pattern phrases, which are bad. There I go. And what I found is if you just don't say anything, because you hit it's commas in your thought. You're trying to figure out where you're going with what you're saying. If you don't say anything and you resort to silence, in your head, that silence lasts much longer.
Forever.
Than it seems out in the real world. And radio people do this all the time. And this is a well-established radio technique, which is to say a phrase, give a pause, and allow that to dictate the pace of your speech. And it doesn't necessarily sound like, it sounds better than like, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, here we go. I'm going to give you a topic.
Okay.
You have 1 minute.
No, I'm kidding.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
Right. We tried it downstairs. Some people just failed out immediately in that way. We hit Jake with mid-90s basketball, which he's like wearing a bull sweatshirt.
Sure.
And he goes, so,
that's great. Okay. All right. Well, you might catch me off guard with a topic and I'll fail immediately. We'll see.
Okay.
I will step up to the occasion.
High school wrestling. Go.
High school wrestling. I know a bit about this topic as I was a high school wrestler back in Mishawaka, Indiana.
Pace is a little slow.
98.
A little slow.
You didn't say anything
about
pace.
No, you have to speak at a normal pace.
Speaking at a normal pace is a little.
Oh, there it is.
Yep,
right
there it is. Yep.
Ah, there we go. Benji, get up here. Get up here, Benji.
Benji, come on. You got to try
with
this.
Us.
It's difficult,
it's
especially
very
when you're,
hard.
Especially when you know you're being timed and it's part of a contest. Because
well,
you're then,
but
it's
don't
even
think about
you're
that.
More self-conscious.
But don't think about that. Just think
sure.
about
with a little more practice. I think you could do that.
Yeah.
So I'm just
a
talking
topic.
and I can't pause or use us.
No,
or
you can
us,
pause.
Likes,
you can pause, but no
you
holding
pause,
pattern words.
A...
No likes. You know those types of common sort of things.
A
really weird subject.
I'm trying to think about like
a quick one.
Okay, ready? The Civil War.
The Civil War is fantastic historical stuff to learn about. I actually one time got to go to Antietam Battlefield, which is famous because the most soldiers.
Right there.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It's difficult.
It took what? Oh,
yeah.
Thanks, Bench.
But I'd recommend it. It's actually a fantastic game. It's a good way of learning how to at least sound a little bit more controlled and measured in your speech. Here, give me a topic, right? Okay. I'm okay at this one, actually.
All right. Amateur magic.
Amateur magic. Magic is an art where people try and fool you with techniques such as sleight of hand, card manipulation, trick decks, trick shuffling. The goal of the magician is to make the other person fooled by their techniques. See, already
slow.
It's getting, and also it's, getting
so
like, and what's incredible about this?
It's staccato.
Real quick, what's incredible about this? You start to speak at a third grade level.
You sound
like
crazy.
You sound insane. Let me keep going. I heard the and I caught it right as it was coming out. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult game.
It's hard. Try the subway game. Challenge people to the subway game. That's a fun
exercise.
Actually,
I'll tell you this. Here's the exercise. We are not sponsored by Subway, by the way, but here's the exercise for this week, podcast listeners. Take your phone. Everyone's got one of these now, and everyone's got a video recorder on their phone. Head over to your local Subway for lunch one of these days. Record a video of you playing and passing the subway game. Send it to us at Rocket Jump Tweet, and the and we'll pick, Benji, how many people we pick out of that?
How many could we?
Yeah, well, here's what. Send it to us. We will buy you whatever game you want on Steam. How's that?
Okay.
It's like a $50 game.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. Not
maybe
bad.
We'll throw in a, there we go.
To the, here's what it is. To the first person who sends a video. To the first person to send us a video of them playing the subway game and winning, we'll get a Steam game of their choice. You got to tweet the video over, upload to YouTube, tweet the video over to Rocket Jump Tweet, and there you go.
See,
and then you're going to get a free game, courtesy us, and courtesy your ability to speak with clarity and poise in a public environment. How's that?
Poise.
Anyway, so that's well,
how did
that's
that come up?
Well, it was
is that just something you guys were talking about
we
earlier?
It was just talking about earlier, and it was. It was fun. It's very difficult.
Once you point it out, then you can't stop hearing it and thinking about
it.
Oh, no,
we've completely
really
cursed the rest of this
podcast.
You know, I've cursed the rest of this podcast. I should wait till the end because now
I'm thinking about
all you're thinking about is this, and now we can't come up with good topics to come up with.
And now anyone who's listening, that's all they're going to think about. Every time we say like,
but you know
or,
what? You know what? Maybe that's what you should be thinking about, man. Maybe that's what you should be thinking about. You ever think about that? So I want to talk a little bit right now about Snapchat.
Why? What's up with Snapchat?
So Snapchat just released a big fatty update.
I know, I saw that. Do you use Snapchat?
I do. We do it. We have a
No, I mean, I know we have a Rocket Jump Snapchat now.
Oh, to communicate with people.
Yeah. Do you use Snapchat?
I don't use Snapchat to communicate with people.
Do you even physically have your own account?
I do have my own account. I do have my own
Freddie Wong snaps.
I do have my own account.
Yeah.
And I don't really sort of use that. And we do have a Snapchat account. It's Rocket_Jump on Snapchat for the 12 of you who care about that. So go ahead and add us if you haven't already. And what's funny about Snapchat is. So it started off, right, as essentially what I see it as the premier anonymous pornography distribution method for
that's
teenagers.
What I hear. That's what I hear.
Because that's what it was. It's like what started off was just like, okay, because one.
People are wondering, wait, what? What are you talking about?
Well, but here's the thing, right? Because like, I think a lot of people are age, and it's weird to speak in these terms, but a lot of people are age, feel like they don't get Snapchat. It's like, no, there's nothing to get about Snapchat. It's very simple.
It's. What's there to get?
Yeah, well, exactly. So you start off with it, and you text people. And kids obviously don't want their parents reading their text or knowing that they're texting. So a program that will delete your text 24 hours after you send it, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and dad don't know what I'm saying. I can talk freely to my friends. And then I can also send pictures. They disappear in 24 hours. They let you know if you save it. So obviously kids are sexting nudes to each other nonstop, which is always hilarious to me to read about these stories where it's like, there was a nude sexting ring broken up at this high school.
A ring.
And it was like, I remember just being like, I could play Snake on my mom's Nokia. You're telling me kids, like, I remember pornography was a 56K modem. If someone picked up the phone and interrupted it, and it was a progressively, here we go, back at the beginning of the podcast, a progressively encoded JPEG. So it would you know what I'm talking about?
Nice callback.
It would load like a mosaic.
Yeah, sure.
One, like a little bit at a time. That's what I grew up with. And then you just hear it was like, kids will just send nude pictures of themselves constantly to all of their
snapping
friends.
Them all over the place.
And it's just like, man, technology just picked the
I can't imagine
time.
What it must be like to be in high school right now.
Well, I can
all
tell
this
you,
technology, it's got to be just a crazy
well,
time.
Well, I know a lot of teachers will say kids can't, you know, use their phones in class. They'll put them in their locker, you know. Anyway, so obviously it became that. And so what Snapchat realized is because they have millions and millions and millions and millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, we're going to do these millions of people. Well, okay, we can become a video platform. We kind of already are. And they tried stuff with stories and things like that. And people are already kind of watching other users and their Snapchat power users. So that's the thing. They started doing
disposable stories. How do you think the disposability actually affects storytelling?
Well, it's a good question, right? Because there's really not much that is truly disposable and disappearing. A lot of the stuff, like I'm trying to think of examples of this. So I would argue, for example, like the three-panel comic or the Sunday comic is maybe the closest thing that you have, because that's something that would eventually be collected in a compilation by that artist. But after Sunday, and to be fair, it lasts forever on that newspaper, but the newspaper's always getting updated. There's always a new newspaper. So that after that Sunday, you're not really reading that comic. It's almost disposable in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a very viable form of entertainment. And of course, arguably the most disposable form of entertainment, and by disposable, I mean cannot be experienced again after you've experienced it once, would be like live theater, live performance, right? Mm-hmm. Because that would be unique to that one time, and there's something special about that. So it's compelling, obviously, for that.
It makes it an event.
Yeah, and then I think Snapchat Stories, for example, they have the thing where they'll geofence an event. So they'll do like College Game Day, they'll do a football game, and then they'll collect anyone within the stadium, their snaps, and play it as a story. So you can watch like everyone's like POVs.
That's fascinating.
Throughout that, and they were and you know, so that's something that they do, and it's like that's also
how do you
sports.
Prevent the guy from slipping in the dick pic? You know, is there a way
I think
to
they,
comb
they,
those?
They on their end, I guarantee you are looking through it and making sure that no dick pics get through. If it hits a critical mass of dick pics, they let one through.
Yeah,
I guess it's an important thing to be able to get to a critical mass. But other than that, no dick pics.
Mm.
But
they got this new thing going on.
Yeah, so they have stories, and we're going to be doing something with I'm going to be doing something with Corridor Digital. They're directing Snapper Hero, which you know, Harley also is going to be in this.
Love those guys.
Yeah, so but it was always just interesting to me how reading the reactions of people or Snapchat being like, I don't get this. And it's weird for us because, you know, we started on YouTube, and there's all these new video platforms. Like Instagram's video, Vine is 6-second video, Snapchat has video on it. And for us to be like, well, what are we trying to focus on? What are we doing? And do we just go to all these platforms? And if we do, what do they serve and what purpose do they serve for us? So for the moment, Snapchat is basically the most raw, unfiltered BTS from the moment that you can get from the stuff that we do. So, you know, I think you know, we're going to be doing a lot of you know, the stuff for the shoots and the shows and the stuff going on at the office. But Snapchat was just one of those things where, yeah, it really just blows my mind how many people they have. And the other sort of concept that keeps going through my mind is a lot about, like, we started in 2010, and it's 2015 now, so it's 5 years since we started. And 5 years, that's from high school. You know, if you're a freshman, you're going from freshman to freshman. You're going from high school to college. Or if you're in college, you're going from freshman to graduating college.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole new group of people now in high school. And this, the people that were attracted to what we were doing in 2010, 2011, 2012 are older, way older. And that age group is a totally new set of people now. And you know, it's the whole question of, do you age up with them? Do you like sort of hold them in place and you have content for them in place? Anyways, it's a lot. We do a lot of thinking about platforms and things like that.
Fun platform. I like the Dogma-esque restrictions that it puts on you.
I like the vertical video.
Yeah,
exhibition form factor.
No, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. Absolutely. I think the Snapper Hero thing could be really interesting. I'm curious to see what Sam and Nico at Corridor do with their segment.
Dez.
And Snapchat entirely.
Have you ever sexted?
Sexted?
Yeah, sexted.
Like sending...
Like a
sexy text?
Sexy text.
Yeah, I have done that, yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
I just can't... I can't even think. I just...
I've got a special lady friend in my life, and yeah, we send...
Oh, you get like down dirty in textual form, like straight up William Shakespeare style?
Well, our relationship originally started out long distance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was...
Like, were you sending like letters and like a wax seal that you would like... Hit and use US Postal Service, send along You'd write in longhand by candlelight with a quill?
No. Just all digital, baby.
All digital.
All digi.
That's a cow. You got like Skype and stuff. You can actually go face to face. But it's always funny to me because like there's what it is I think it's I'm always interested by like the levels of abstraction that we place between like human beings place between like in sexuality. So you start off with like, okay, the deed, which is like as direct as you can get. But then it just goes down that list. And
I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm just thinking like, God, my parents listen to these sometimes. We never really talk about this kind of stuff on here. It's awkward. I know my girlfriend's parents are probably listening to this too. So
this is a very theoretical.
No, they're all here.
It's
they're
very
all here.
Theoretical discussion.
They're all here.
It's a theoretical discussion. Here's a theoretical discussion because you go from like actual sexuality all the way down to I feel like you can't get any more distant than text messaging. I don't know. Is there emoticon based?
Yes.
Which ones would you use? I've seen the emoticons.
Eggplant.
Airplane.
Airplane.
Heart.
Poop. Airplane. Happy poops. No, I don't know.
That's what I want to see. I want to see someone do an entire like emoticon chain of just like what would be the future in 20 years, two teenagers sexting each other as just emoticons. And just like, this is undecipherable.
I've seen Jordan Peele tell some pretty great stories. Entirely with emoticons. That's fantastic. It's
the most incredible one I've seen was someone did all of Journey's Don't Stop Believin'.
Oh, that's
with
great.
The available Apple emoticons. Like, they had small town girl, and then it's like single thing world. Like, yeah. It was amazing.
That's great.
More thrilling emoticon stories when we come back here after the break. Thanks for sticking with us. How are we doing so far? Let us know on Twitter. Dez, what are you on Twitter?
I'm at Dez Dolly.
Let Dez know how you think about his extemporaneous speaking abilities and me. Anyway, we'll be back in just a second. I want to tell you guys about a little contest that we're running with Red Rock Micro.
Red Rock Micro makes a lot of really cool stuff. Camera gear,
camera
cages,
support systems, accessories, rods, follow focuses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty much anything to take your camera from, I don't know, just something that you just got out of a box.
From Jank City
from
to Indie Pro.
you kit it out. We use their stuff all the time. It was on VGHS, all of our shorts, handles, follow focuses. Swear by their stuff. Fantastic cinema gear. And we're
going to be giving some of that away.
Oh, yeah. Here's your chance, by the way, to win an Ultra Cage Field Cinema bundle. All right. You can throw pretty much any camera into it. It's worth
$1,200. $1,200.
You might be asking me right now, hey, Dez,
hey,
Freddie.
Yeah.
How do I get this thing?
Yeah,
what do I got to do?
How do you get this thing? Well, it's simple.
Right. You got to make a 15-second Instagram or YouTube video advertising Napalm Energy Drink.
Napalm Energy Drink.
VGHS. A lot of our graphics and stuff that you can use for that are available on our website, rocketjump.com. Make a 15-second video. Put it online. Tag it with
hashtag new Napalm.
New Napalm. And like the Red Rock Micro Facebook page. Link in the description below and right here. And you get your chance at a $1,200 cinema bundle. You can kickstart your filmmaking
career there. Ultra Cage Field Cinema Bundle. Man, that thing sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want that?
People who don't like stable footage or being able to handhold properly, those two people. So head on over to the Red Rock Micro Facebook page. It's at facebook.com/RedRockMicro and enter for your chance to win a $1,200 Field Cinema Bundle.
Sealed
Wrap that
Field
camera
Cinema
up.
Ultra Bundle.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. So a lot of people are filtering back right now from Sundance. Alex, actually, Mixmaster Alex, is still at Sundance, right?
That's correct, yeah. Ashley Birch, who writes here, just got back. She was telling us about Sundance. I've been twice now, actually. Once when I was at USC, a couple of buddies and I made a road trip. We drove out there,
really?
Which was a total blast.
Do you have any crazy Sundance stories, bro?
You know what? Honestly, no. When you go at that age, if you don't have a film in the contest and you don't do any planning beforehand,
well, you're boned, right?
You're there's nothing you can do.
Well, because it's
you
just
can't
a,
get tickets. You can't go see
resort.
Anything.
It's just then, a ski resort.
Exactly. Then you just happen to be in a ski town.
Wait, where did you stay?
We stayed at a friend's house. You wouldn't have been able to get a hotel.
No.
There was no prior planning whatsoever. We just walked up and down the block, that main strip.
Ugh.
It was awful. It was awful. You know, and then we would just pop in and out of restaurants and any of those bars and clubs. And, you know, they have some of those little installations with people talking. So we went to all the free events. Every possible free event Sundance had to offer, we were there. Couldn't see any of the films.
There are more now than there were probably back in the day.
Probably. We would kind of, you know, we were nerdy kids, young kids in film school. So
what was the plan? Were you guys like going to be like, oh, we're going to sneak into a movie?
We didn't know. We didn't know anything about Sundance then other than it was this cool festival and we wanted to be there. We just had to be there. We were in film school. The next evolution is go to Sundance, not make a movie and get it in. So we went to Sundance and spent 3 days just creeping on celebrities, just following up and down the street. It was very awkward.
So I've been to Sundance only once, and that was last year.
Oh, that's right.
Tie in with the Nintendo, the video that we did with Hey Ash, What You Play In, called Gorilla, G-O-R-I-L-L, Warfare, I believe. And It was weird.
It was bizarre last year.
I don't want to fill up this podcast with just me talking, although it's kind of going that direction.
Yeah,
sorry,
basically.
Everybody. But it was bizarre. So we did like
wait. But what was bizarre about it? Though I remember the party. We went to a party. Spent one night at this Nintendo party, and I remember that being bizarre. But Sundance isn't bizarre.
Well, because there's this weird air of celebrity around some of these movies where these movies, like we saw, I'm not gonna say which ones we saw, but like we saw some movies which were horrible, just unbelievably bad movies. But because someone involved with it was, you know, some name or
such
was,
and such celebrity,
yeah, exactly. Everyone was just falling over themselves to talk about how great this movie was. And I was just like, this weird groupthink, like scenario where everybody was celebrating each other's really just awful crap, and I just couldn't take
well,
it.
Well, do you want to be the one guy in the back going, "Come on, that sucks"?
I feel like those people.
You guys
leave.
Suck.
I think those people just kind of leave quietly.
Probably no, they go online and write shitty reviews.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is, right? It's like movies are weird, especially big group screenings with strangers, because especially if you're a celebrity or a known person. Like you go out into the lobby and it's just everyone just like slobbing your knob, and then everyone else who actually like has honest opinions about it, they're like, "I'm out of here."
Yeah,
sucks,
exactly.
You know what I mean? And you can't. It's just an echo chamber. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was fun because what happens during Sundance is I had heard this tip: nobody skis. Everyone's there for movies and to sit around in dark rooms in the snow and hot tub and stuff, but nobody actually skis. And people ski, but like it's barren. So I heard about this, and I went with Justin, the director at Hey Ash, What You Playing. He and I snowboard. And I was like, "Yo, let's get some 2-day passes and tear up these slopes, Park City. I've never been to Park City.
Let's get some of that fresh powder, bro.
Gotta get that pow pow, bro.
Pow pow."
So
this is last year. You guys go
this
snowboarding.
Was last year. So I used to ski. Do you ski, snowboard?
Oh no, I'm terrible. Remember we went on that ski trip?
Oh, to be fair.
At Big Bear,
yeah.
I spent most of the day on the Bunny Hill. You know,
I
grew up in the Midwest.
Just pizzaing down.
It's just flat. We didn't have any money, so we couldn't afford ski rental or anything like that. So no, it's just not a thing I grew up doing. And now I feel like I've completely missed that boat. My body just can't handle it.
So I started out skiing and then I did snowboarding. Snowboarding's fine because you have basically 1 year.
Is snowboarding harder, more or less difficult than skiing?
Yeah, a little bit because
I feel like it also depends on the person you ask, because I've asked that question and I always get a different answer.
It's harder, and here are the reasons why. One, your first year spent snowboarding is a wash. You're spending that entire first season just on your ass and just hurting because you're just not used to it. Second year starts to get fun again. Two, no poles means that any flat parts you get into, which are invariably you run into, and you're not going fast enough, you're not waxed up enough, you just slide to a stop and you're just like, well,
that's it.
That's it. Mm-hmm. We're done. I'm just going to try and hobble over now. Mm-hmm. And that's always fun. And two, moguls are not. You can't do moguls on snowboard.
So you guys are at Sundance last year. You decided to go snowboarding. I know you. You're Mr. Thrill, Mr. Adventure.
Mr. Thrill.
Of
adrenaline
some sort.
Rush.
I mean, you are, though, actually. People may not know that about you. So I can just picture you being like, "Hey, Justin. Hey, Justin. Let's hit a sick lick, bro."
I grew up in Seattle, which means luckily what is considered like an okay, like Snoqualmie Pass was like the okay, crappy like snow place, is better than anything on the East Coast. West Coast is just way, way better in terms of just terrain, things like that. So I was like pretty good. I was like surprised. I'm like, so I started going down the hill and I started, you know, doing that day. I'm taking like, all right, okay, blue square, not bad, still got it, still carving fresh, rad tracks, and then, you know, Black Diamond, okay, got it. I was on top. I was like, yeah, I still have it. I'm rad. You know what I should do? I should hit up that park. I should do some jumps.
Oh, no.
So they have like a little mini, and so Park City, they have some pretty crazy stuff, but they have a smaller one. So me and Justin go, and Justin's like, okay. And I'm like, I'm better than Justin. All right. Okay. Justin's just killing these jumps. He's taking them, hopping them, doing little grabs, little indies, little, you know, what have you, lean airs, and then landing them. And I'm like, all right, I can do this. And I go off one, nail it. I'm like, yeah, this is rad. I'm just rocking this. I'm the best. I'm the best that ever was. Second jump. Okay. So when you go off a jump on a snowboard, you have to, your balance on it has to be impeccable on your exit. Because if you're tweaking in one direction, you're kind of leaning, you're kind of turning, when you're in the air, you've given that input, you can't fix that. You're just going to continue in that direction.
Okay.
So you have to kind of be on your toes. And you have to kind of you do have to jump because you jumping, you know, provides like extra force in terms of like making sure they're going straight. So you have to be on your toes, you have to jump, and when you're landing and you come into it, you want to stomp down and land it and give it and stick it, you know. So I'm going off of this hill, and immediately I know something's wrong because I'm coming off of it, and I'm and the tendency when you're a little bit not quite confident, which I was not quite confident, you lean back a little bit.
Oh, when
you lean back,
that doesn't
you're starting to lean back, and then you go off. So I'm going off of my heel, which is bad because that means now I'm in the air, and I was going fast. I'm like, I'm gonna take that first one. I nailed it. Second one, I'm gonna bomb this one. I'm gonna indie grab it and just stick it.
So you're in the air.
I'm in the air, and I start to rotate backwards in the air,
and you're talking to yourself.
And what's going through your head? There's enough time.
Yeah, I bet it felt like slow motion.
It felt like slow motion, and there was enough time in the air for a number of thoughts to go through my head. First of all, the first thought was, "Oh shit, I went off the jump wrong." That was shot one. Thought one. Thought two. What the fuck was I thinking? Like, why did I, like, that was a very fast one. Thought two was very fast because it immediately followed and superseded by thought three, which was, this is going to hurt a lot. Because I was about 6-7 feet in the air and now totally horizontal.
Oh, my God.
And then coming down. And I land on my back and my hip, just straight on. Wind, gone, knocked out of me immediately. And then I slide down like that, just lean back. And, like, I remember actually... This is what happened. I remember sounding like this, and wanting to laugh because I sounded like ridiculous, and also being like the worst pain ever. I was like, I broke something. I absolutely broke something. This is what it feels like to break my back. Like I broke my neck. I broke my spine. Like absolutely. There's no way that I haven't. And I was like, I was on there. I couldn't breathe for a bit. I finally caught my breath. And Justin, by the way, has cleared the park, nailed every jump, by the way. So, of course, shame on me for thinking that was any good and better than him. He managed to kick my ass in that park. He's at the bottom, and he looks like he hasn't seen me yet. He was far enough away that he was like, okay, shoot, something must happen. So he just was waiting, and I could see like a dot of him. And then I was like, okay. And I just laid there for a good like 2 minutes just trying to like just – you know, in just total pain. I was like, okay, I need to get back. I need to get down. I'm not going to. I feel like I felt feeling a little better. I don't think I need the guy in the snowmobile to drag me down.
How do you flag that guy down?
You have your friend go down all the way.
And
then they come up for you. So I'm like, okay, even if I want
so
the snowmobile
guy. So that
guy,
is, that emergency response is entirely dependent upon the buddy system.
A functional buddy system. Or functional nice stranger system.
Got it.
You can't call. There's no signal up there.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, if I want to get the snowmobile guy, I have to at least get down to Justin because he doesn't know what the situation is
right
up here, so I have to at least go down the next, like, you know, 200 yards to get down to him. So I get up, and, like, I cannot stand up straight. Like, it's such stinging pain that I'm, like, hunched over, and I, like, just kind of go over, and I have to stop every, like, 20 seconds, be like, oh, my guys hurt so much. I'm such an idiot. And the whole time, by the way, I'm such an idiot. What? I think this is a good idea. Who? Why would I ever want to snowboard again? What do I think I am? This is my youth. This is my hubris coming back.
You're the movie guy, and you're at Sundance, the mecca of film festivals.
And I was like, I'm going to go skiing.
There's rad stuff happening at the bottom of the hill, and you decide to strap on a snowboard and go to the top.
And rent a snowboard and go to the top. I slide down to him. It's bad. And I was like, it took us like a good 30 minutes to get down, like just slowly, bit at a time. And I was just like, just in total pain. I can't stand up straight. I'm convinced. For the next like 2 weeks, it's crazy painful. And but there wasn't any swelling and so you know and all that. And
what
just,
was it?
I think I just hit. It just hit really, really hard. There was no swelling. I may have bruised
some
up
sort of deep bruise.
Maybe bruised up a bone. Yeah. Maybe at most, but mm-hmm. really not that. It was okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, I call my dad, and my dad's a doctor, and it's so funny because he's a doctor. He just like his assessment of the strength and resilience of the human body is so much more than most people's. Like, I don't even know this, but when you were a kid, did you go to the hospital much? For like if you got sick or you need like
I was actually sick a lot as a kid. I was kind of a big wuss, not nearly as tough as my brothers. I think I just looked like a wuss because my brothers are so much tougher than I was. But no, having two younger brothers, we beat the crap out of each other as kids, you know.
Did
we
go to the hospital?
Incredibly
non-emergency
resilient.
Non-emergency stuff?
Like a med point, urgent care, if you step on a nail or fall and cut something open, that kind of thing, yeah.
I never went to the hospital.
Really?
Yeah. It was, because my dad would just be like, you're fine.
You're fine.
Oh, but I cut my toe open really bad on like this door when I was a kid, like just blood everywhere, and he looked at it and he's like, nah, you don't need stitches.
Well, no.
Have you ever got stitches for anything?
Yes, yeah.
Never have gotten stitches.
I've told that story before.
Oh, that's true,
I got hit in the head with a baseball bat once.
Jimmy threw a brick at my head once, and I was bleeding. Didn't
that sounds awful.
That. But again, my point is, the way that my dad looks at the body, he's like, your body, you can heal up. You're fine.
You're fine.
It's crazy how much damage you can take and be fine. And
that's so, that's how my parents were, when they raised us. We only had to go somewhere if it were serious and something were bleeding out.
And to be fair, but the thing is, he had like the depth of medical knowledge to back him up. So it was just like, dude, should we go to the hospital? He's like,
no.
You kidding? So I called him. My dad fell down. He's like, is it swollen? I'm like, eh. A little bit. He's like, put some ice on it. You'll be fine. He's like, I can't like get up and walk. He's like, take two Tylenol, put some ice on it. You'll be fine.
Yeah, that's great. Tough love. I like that.
That was it. And of course, he's right. But that was my ski story. And I hurt so bad for like 2 weeks after that. I was such an idiot.
Oh my god.
So anyway, don't.
That
be
sounds
an
awful.
Idiot.
So if you're gonna go to Sundance,
stay indoors. That's my
go
tip.
See a movie.
Go see a fantastic movie at Sundance,
or maybe a really crappy movie.
No, it's
I've been reading
movies.
There's a lot of good stuff there this year.
Yeah, what are you excited for?
I was just reading some reviews about Nightmare.
What is that?
I believe it's called. It is a documentary by the same gentleman who made Room 237 about Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
Have you seen? Oh, someone pointed this out the other day. But have you seen the video of someone doing Room 237 to Pitch Perfect?
No, that sounds incredible.
So they take Pitch Perfect, and they're like, and it just goes on. It's like the first dance, airline uniforms. Is Anna Kendrick making a movie about 9/11?
No, that sounds miserable.
It's a joke. Yeah. But then it goes like, notice the next scene, 11 dancers. Like it just goes all the way through it. This is like super deadpan. But
anyway, the Nightmare sounds. You should take a look at this.
What is
it? It is a documentary about sleep paralysis. By the guy who did Room 237, which is really interesting if you kind of get what that guy is actually doing with that movie.
Yeah.
And he recreates all of these people's horrible nightmares.
Oh,
and apparently it is the most terrifying movie of the year.
Especially for the people who told him about their nightmares,
probably.
Right?
That sounds really great, yeah. I know Eli Roth has a horror film that just got picked up by Lionsgate, starring Keanu Reeves. Apparently,
Keanu Reeves making that comeback.
I know.
Man.
I guess it's Keanu Reeves is home alone, and two single ladies show up on his doorstep. He lets them in.
To be fair, usual Friday in the life of Keanu Reeves.
That's a Keanu Reeves Friday.
Yeah. They call him.
I guess they come in and weird stuff happens. That sounds interesting.
Does it sound interesting, Dad?
Keanu Reeves,
sounds pretty boring.
Two single ladies. Well, the way I pitched it, I don't think that movie's getting the green light, but I guess it's pretty good.
Okay.
What else is coming out of the festival this year?
I don't know. I've not followed any of it at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe there's not that much coming out.
It was a different time because Sundance was a place where indie film was going, where you would go to get discovered.
That was the mode, right? Remember Easy Riders, Raging Bulls, Mike DeLuca era?
Well, was that era
Tarantino,
of the 90s, Tarantino?
Kevin Smith
making
movies with credit cards. That's not the way things
it's
are done
anymore.
Nowadays.
No, not
you know?
Sundance was like the mecca for indie filmmakers, and to an extent it still is, but it's become so corporatized. Like last time we were there, it was like, Airbnb, come visit the Airbnb
hut.
Yeah,
I feel like it's probably just
Lexus,
like,
brought to you by, and it's like, this doesn't feel like a...
I got the idea last year. It was just this big corporate wank fest.
Well, they were saying, people up there in Park City, talking to some of the locals there, they were just like, it's just like, this is just a bunch of money comes in.
The whole festival last year was sponsored by Chase or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was all these Chase Bank.
Encouraging you, use your credit cards.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with movies whatsoever.
I wonder what the digital film festival will be or where that is, because there's something I think I think that there's something to be said for movies to be seen in person. I think that some genres really benefit from that. Horror definitely benefits, mm-hmm. I think, from being seen in person. Or rather, you get something out of that. I think...
There's that campfire experience.
Yeah, comedy absolutely benefits from a group. And,
yeah,
and, you know,
most
like,
definitely.
Like, I saw Zoolander by myself, and I was like, this movie sucks. And I saw it with a group of friends. I'm like, oh,
I get it.
Actually, this movie
it works.
Hilarious.
I think comedy above
but what
any
but
other
I wonder
genre.
What happens to that as we kind of, you know, is it just then small groups of friends? Is it not straight? Put it this way. Do we get the same effect of the group viewing experience if it's a group of five of our friends versus a room full of strangers? Is it, you know, is that the same? Is that better? Is that worse? And is that, or more importantly, actually probably the real question you should be asking is it good enough to replace what we have right now in theaters?
God, I hope so. I feel like it could be.
Did you see The Interview?
I did see The Interview.
I watched The Interview with my parents. And
how was that experience?
Well, I'm just from a, hey, let's watch a movie right now, and then we all just sat down and watched the movie, and this is a movie that's in theaters. Fantastic experience. Amazing experience. To be able to just be like, hey, Mom, Dad, you want to watch a movie? It was over Christmas break. You know, I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And I was like right there. I was like, wow, we don't have to, because, you know, we live kind of back in Seattle. My folks live kind of far away from theater, so it's like, we have to, it's a whole thing. It's like, okay, the theater starts in an hour. We got to go now. And mm-hmm. Okay, get ready. Oh, I don't want to see this movie. What's it playing? What else is playing around? It's like, no, it's just a pain.
Right.
But yeah, it was pretty good, man.
I enjoyed it. I saw it over Christmas break as well. Taylor and I went to The Egyptian.
Oh, okay, so you did do the theater.
There was a special screening on Christmas Day. right, they had announced it right after the whole hoopla happened.
Yeah, Seattle ain't getting any of that.
Yeah, that's too bad. We were lucky enough to be at a screening where Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg were there. They came out to introduce the film, and they played a little like welcome message from James Franco, and they threw swag into the audience. That was kind of fun. Honestly, I enjoyed the little intro.
Yeah. Probably more than the movie.
Yeah, definitely more than the movie. I had a good time.
I mean, the movie was just like, I mean, I feel like a lot of, it's amazing to me that movie will now forever be canonized in the American film, like, history, like, archives because of what happened with it.
What happened? Not necessarily because of what it is,
but
because
of what
happened.
Which must be such a strange feeling for the person, for the people who made it, where it's just like, guys, everyone's going to remember your movie forever. Forever. In fact, in 100 years... Like it is basically the Great Train Robbery.
Right.
Like it's like this. It's Citizen. It's like it's. I would argue historical. It's like Citizen Kane. Like people are gonna remember this one because of that. Less so than anything
it's
else.
So bizarre.
It's such a strange
irreverent
moment.
Comedy. You know.
Yeah.
Chock full of.
I just can't. I just.
Lowbrow humor.
I just love the idea of like future film students like studying The Interview.
The Interview.
In like their media studies class in college in like, you know, 40 years and be like, yes, but what are they actually trying to say? Mm-hmm. And be like, all these poop jokes are just like, again, that poop jokes are these immortal poop jokes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was nice though, that's the first movie I've seen in a theater with a group of people in a while, just because
who are there for it, right?
Who are there for it. You know, far too often now, I always go with the iTunes option. Stay at home, watch a movie by myself. You're missing something. And I don't know what, you're right. I don't know. I'm curious
what the replacement will be.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of the group viewing experience, I don't know.
I feel like you could get away with a handful of people if you're able to get that together. A lot of times we'll go to a movie and
you enjoy it more
just because you're with your buddies.
Watch
not
this.
Necessarily
everyone listening,
how everyone else
mark this one down. For 3 years, there's going to be an app. There's going to be an app that's going to allow you to have impromptu screenings of stuff. You schedule it in a little bit in advance and you just tell people that, hey, come on over. I'm watching this movie. And people can like accept it, and it's a small group of like it'll be vetted, so it's not just like total strangers. It'll be like people who are like you rate each other, you know, like the Uber, you rate like other people in other terms, like this guy's fun, this guy brings good food.
You can join certain circles,
you can join circles
that enjoy
and stuff like that.
Certain genres of film.
Yep, and then you open up your house in the same way that Airbnb or couch surfing opens up your house, and you have a rating system like Uber, and you can do movies and
movie
people
parties.
Movie parties, people come over, they'll bring food and stuff like that. You impromptu friendship. Delivered to you in an app, and the app will be called
Popcorn Time. I think
Popcorn Time already exists.
I think that is an app already. Yeah,
which is fantastic if you are into piracy. Mm-hmm. It'll be called something.
That's a fun idea.
Guarantee you. 3 years. Mark my words.
Until then, you can just snap me, Freddie.
Oh, that's true.
And I'll come over.
What's your wildly unlikely prediction for the future? And wrap us up with your prediction.
My wildly unprediction of the prediction
unlikely prediction for
unlikely.
The future.
God, I don't know.
5 years.
5 years?
Yeah.
You want me to give you an unlikely prediction?
I don't know. Just what do you think is going to happen in the future, bro? 2020.
Good God. What is going to happen in the future?
2020. I can tell you right now what's going to happen on that one. There's going to be about a trillion jokes made about how everyone's vision is going to be perfect in the year 2020. Get it? Get it? Get it? It's vision. It's a vision joke.
These are the jokes you can expect at the Sunday Super Bowl halftime show, co-starring Freddie the Comedian Wong.
Oh, man. Come on, give me something.
Prediction of the future? That's a good question. I don't know. I've become so self-absorbed the last couple of years working on all of these various projects. I don't even get a chance to think of the future. I'm too busy worrying about how I'm going to make it through to Friday.
Self-driving cars. You think that will happen by then?
Self-driving cars in 5 years.
Yep. I'm going to hold you to this.
In 5 years, I feel like you will see, say, one or two self-driving cars commercially available.
Okay.
At a incredibly ridiculous price.
Okay. My prediction in 5 years, you're going to have self-parking cars and there'll be entire parking lots where you just pull up and it auto-valets for you.
That's it? Just auto?
For now.
Why wouldn't a car drive itself if it can park itself? Why wouldn't it just be a
Because people are freaked out, man, by computers and robots on the road, but they're less freaked out by a bunch of robots going around in parallel parking next to each other.
I guess I can see that.
All right.
I'm okay with self-driving cars. Let's make that happen.
I could take more naps, and that's one thing I need
to Oh, you're right. That would be the best.
So much napping would happen. So much reading and napping would happen in self-driving cars. Everybody would be – it'd be such a benefit.
It would be so much more time. Especially for
– To do activities.
Oh, my God. We're in Los Angeles.
Oh, my goodness.
We spend a ridiculous, an unfair amount of time sitting in the car.
Yep. Anyway, it'll way of the future. You heard it here, you heard it here first. Folks, thanks everybody for tuning in to a very special personal Face Rocker podcast.
So personal.
So personal. Thank you all. Thanks to Benji Dolly, podcast producer.
Thanks, Benji.
Alex, who is off this week, podcast mixmaster engineer at Point Blue Studios. And we will see you hopefully with a full cast, unless, of course, everyone likes this so much that they want to.
They're like, oh my God, we can't get enough of you two. More of that.
More of that. Hopefully more people next week, unless you like this, but let us know. Anyway.
Snap at us.
@_jump.
Snap us your comments.
Do not snap us anything illegal. Thank you very much, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Good night.